All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're jumping into a really core topic in cybersecurity, penetration testing.
Yep, and we're doing it by looking through some specific source material stuff, actually designed to educate sales teams, account managers, sales engineers in cloud security.
Exactly. So the goal here, our mission, if you like, is to pull out the key stuff from these docs. We want you to understand what penetration testing actually is, why businesses basically have to do it now, and what the market really looks like.
Think of it as the express lane to getting smart on this.
Yeah, a shortcut through the noise, drawing from materials made to teach folks how to sell this stuff.
And these sources, they cover a lot of ground. Business reasons, the tech basics, market trends, and importantly, how to show the value. It's pretty comprehensive.
Okay, so let's start with the big picture, the market. The sources kick right off with some pretty big numbers. We're talking a global penetration testing market between, what, $1.9 and $2.8 billion for 2024.
That's right. And it's not just the size, it's the growth. They're projecting something like 13 to 17% compound annual growth.
Wow. That kind of growth suggests there are some serious forces pushing it.
Oh, absolutely. And the source is connected directly to some, well, pretty sobering realities.
Like the cost of a data breach, I saw that number jumped out. Globally, average cost $4.88 million this year.
Exactly. $4.88 million. That gets attention, and it links right back to how many vulnerabilities are just out there.
Yeah, the stat about applications was shocking. 94% of apps have access control issues, almost everything.
94%. It's huge. Potential weak spots everywhere.
And it's not just the tech failing, is it? The human side.
Still massive. The sources say 74% of breaches involve a human element. Error, being tricked, you name it.
So you've got shaky tech and people making mistakes. A tough combo.
Which leads right to the question, how do you get ahead of that? How do you find those problems, tech and human, before the bad guys do?
And that's what penetration testing comes in. It's the proactive piece.
Precisely. And remembering this info was originally for sales teams helps us understand why certain points are emphasized.
Right, like translating the technical findings into business impact, risk, cost, compliance.
Yeah, connecting the dots for people who hold the purse strings or worry about audits.
Okay, so let's dig into that business case. Why does a company spend, potentially quite a bit of money on this? What are the main drivers the sources highlight?
Well, the materials lay out four key reasons. First up, and maybe the most urgent, is proactive risk management. Things move so fast now.
How fast are we talking?
Attackers exploit new vulnerabilities within, get this, 5 days on average. Historically, it was more like 63 days.
Five days, down from over 2 months. That's incredibly fast.
It changes the game completely. And vulnerability exploitation as the cause of a breach, up 180%. Supply chain attacks are climbing too, up 68% annually.
So testing helps you find those holes before attackers use them at that lightning speed.
Exactly. Find and fix before the 5-day window closes.
Okay, proactive defense makes sense. What's driver number two?
Compliance requirements. This is a big one. For a lot of companies, it's not optional, it's mandated.
Like PCI DSS for credit cards?
Yep, PCI DSS requires annual pen testing, and the latest version 4.0 expands what needs testing. Then there's Zaman Coupa for U.S. healthcare. They're proposing mandatory annual testing from 2025.
Okay.
GDPR in Europe requires regular testing, and things like SOC2 or ISO 27001 strongly recommended to prove your controls work.
So basically, if you're in certain industries or handle sensitive data, you have to test.
Pretty much. It's table stakes for compliance in many cases.
Right. Third reason.
Customer trust and brand protection. Think about the damage a big breach does to your reputation. Years of trust gone overnight. And increasingly, especially in B2B, your customers are demanding proof of security. Contracts often require security assessments now, so showing you do pen testing becomes a selling point, a competitive edge.
Security as a feature, almost. Okay, and the last one.
Cost savings. Sounds a bit backward, spending to save, but the numbers are stark. The sources compare the cost of a test, between £2,000 to £30,000 in the UK example, to the average UK breach cost of £4.53 million.
Wow, okay. That comparison puts it in perspective, a few thousand versus potentially millions.
Exactly. It's a straightforward financial justification. Invest a little proactively, potentially save a fortune reactively.
And the sources really hammer this ROI point, don't they? They give actual
Oh,
evidence.
absolutely. This is where it gets really persuasive, especially for making the internal case. They cite examples where, like, a £3,000 or £50,000 investment generated ROI from 9,660% up to Wait for it. 162,333%.
Hold on. Over 160,000% ROI. How is that even possible?
It's possible because you're calculating the value of preventing that multi-million pound breach. It's avoided cost on a massive scale.
Right. The potential disaster that didn't happen because you tested.
Precisely. And they also talk about finding flaws early versus late. Catch a vulnerability during development. Maybe 500 pounds to fix. Catch it after a breach. That cost can jump to over 500,000 pounds.
500 pounds versus 500,000. That's a huge difference. Find it early, save massively.
Exponential savings. And the data suggests companies doing proactive testing save about $2.2 million on average breach costs compared to those who don't.
That's significant. Do they give a formula for calculating this ROI?
They do. It's basically breach cost times probability minus testing cost, then divide that whole thing by the testing cost times 100.
Okay, can you run through the UK example they use?
Sure. So UK average breach costs 4.53 million. Average UK breach probability cited is 43%.
Yeah.
If testing costs 50,000 pounds,
right,
you calculate 4.53 pounds, so it's 0.43, which is about 1.95 pounds in potential avoided cost. Subtract the 50K test cost, divide by 50K times 100, and you get 3,798% ROI.
Nearly 4,000% ROI, just based on average figures. Okay, I see how those huge numbers happen now.
Makes the cost of testing look pretty reasonable, doesn't it?
Definitely. Now, with benefits like that, you'd expect different people in a company to care, but maybe for different reasons. Who are the key buyers the sources point to?
They outline four main personas. First, the CSO, or security leaders. They're driven by needing risk visibility, reporting up to the board, and just validating that their existing security tools are actually effective.
What are their challenges?
Things like vendor sprawl, too many tools, and maybe feeling like they're just doing tests to check a box, this pentest fatigue idea. So for them, you talk governance benefits, board-ready reports.
Got it. CSO needs the big picture. Who's next?
The compliance officer. Their world revolves around regulations and audits. Are we compliant? Are we ready for the auditors?
Their pain points must be keeping up with all the rules.
Exactly. New regs like NIS2 and DORA in the EU are mentioned. Plus, just translating technical findings into compliance language. So you position testing as like compliance insurance.
Makes sense. Peace of mind for the compliance folks. How about the IT team on the ground?
That's your IT director. They're focused on the technical side, validating systems are secure, figuring out what to fix first.
And there are headaches.
Usually technical debt, old stuff that's hard to secure, and not enough people or time to fix everything. So you need to give them deep technical insights and really clear, actionable steps for remediation.
Give them a clear fix-it list. And the money people?
The CFO or business leaders.
Yeah.
They want the ROI quantified. They want risk explained in pounds and pence, dollars and cents.
Well, it stops them.
Competing priorities for budget, needing a rock-solid justification for the spend. So you lead with avoided losses, make the financial case crystal clear.
Okay, that covers the why and the who. Let's pivot to the what. What does penetration testing actually do? What kinds of tests are there?
The sources break it down into key types. Web application testing is the biggest chunk of the market, looking for flaws in websites, portals, APIs.
Using things like the OWASP top 10.
Exactly. Finding those common web risks, but also business logic flaws, ways to misuse the application, even if it's technically working, and checking authentication, making sure people can only access what they're supposed to.
Right. Critical for anything online. What else?
Mobile application testing. Huge growth here. 22% media ARR on a $5.2 billion market. Testing iOS, Android apps, looking at data storage on the device, and especially the APIs they talk to.
APIs are a big weak point, right?
It's huge. 95% of orgs have API vulnerabilities, according to the sources. So mobile testing has to cover those back-end connections.
Okay. Web, mobile. What about the classic network?
Still vital. Network infrastructure testing. That's looking at your external perimeter from the internet and your internal network. What happens if someone gets inside? High ROI noted here, 2,400%, includes Wi-Fi security too.
Good old network security. And connecting back to that human element stat.
Yep, social engineering testing. This directly tests that 74% human factor. Phishing emails, phone calls, trying to get people to give up credentials or click bad links.
Does it work? Does testing people actually help?
The data suggests it does. Regular simulations lead to 70% fewer successful attacks. And there's ROI there too, 562% cited for large companies. It's about building awareness and resilience in your people.
Crucial point. So those are the main types of tests. What about the approaches? Black box, white box.
Right. Three main approaches. Black box is testing with zero prior knowledge, like a real external attacker. Maximum authenticity, but often costs more, maybe 10K, 50K.
It's cold.
Then white box. Full knowledge provided source code, diagrams, accounts, maximum coverage, good for deep dives, integrating into development. Could be cheaper per scan, maybe $500, $2,000.
Full transparency.
And the most common, apparently 66% of the market, is gray box. Partial knowledge, maybe testing as a standard user or simulating an insider. It's seen as the best balance of realism and efficiency.
Black, white, gray, different levels of info for the tester. And do they follow specific rule books, methodologies?
Yes, standards are important for consistency. The sources mention the OWASP testing guide, that's a big industry standard, required by PCI DSS 4.0. Also, NIST SP 800-115, especially relevant for U.S. federal work, and PTES, the Penetration Testing Execution Standard, described as a professional-grade framework.
Okay, provide structure. How long does a typical test actually take?
Depends on the scope, of course. But typical timelines mentioned. Network tests, maybe 4 or 6 weeks total, including reporting. Web app tests, often a bit quicker, 3-4 weeks. Bigger, comprehensive assessments could be 6-12 weeks.
And who does these tests?
It's a mix. Boutique specialists, the big consulting firms, Big Four, and increasingly bug bounty platforms where you crowdsource testers.
Right. What about the tools they use day to day?
Good mix there, too. Commercial leaders like Burp Suite, Nessus, Metasploit get mentioned, sometimes with price ranges. But there's also heavy reliance, 72%, on open source tools. Think OSP, XAMPP, Nmap, SQL Map, free, powerful tools.
Interesting. So it's not just about buying expensive software. Skills matter.
Absolutely. The tool is only as good as the tester using it.
And you mentioned growth earlier. The sources highlight PTS penetration testing as a service.
Yeah, huge growth projected there. From $118 million to potentially $301 billion by 2029. That's a 20.5% CAGR. It suggests a shift towards more continuous platform-driven testing, not just one-off projects.
A move to ongoing validation. Okay, so we know why, who, what, how. The final piece for those sales teams was showing the value. How do the sources say to communicate results effectively?
Big focus on the report quality. That's the tangible output. A good report needs a short, sharp executive summary in business language. What's the risk? What needs doing?
Not just tech jargon.
Right. Needs CVSS scores, but with business context. Why does this vulnerability matter to us? Needs mapping to compliance rules if relevant. And crucially, detailed, actionable remediation steps. How do we fix this?
And what are the red flags? What makes a bad report?
Things like just dumping raw output from a scanner tool. Generic findings. No business impact analysis. No proof of manual testing where it was needed. Basically, low effort, low insight.
Deliver actionable intelligence, not just data. How about pushing back on objections, like it costs too much?
The counter is always that breach cost comparison. That $4.88 million average versus the, say, $30,000 test cost.
Uh-huh.
Plus, potentially lowering cyber insurance premiums by 15-25% is mentioned as another saving.
Bring it back to the bigger financial picture. What about we already use a vulnerability scanner?
Ah, the classic. The key difference highlighted is scanning finds potential vulnerabilities, often hundreds. Pen testing validates if they're actually exploitable in your environment.
So scanning finds the long list, testing finds the real danger.
Exactly. A pen test might take that list of 150 scan findings and show you the 10 or 15 that are truly critical, the ones an attacker will use. It confirms exploitability and impact, cuts through the noise.
That's a really important distinction. And finally, how do test results feed into other security efforts?
The sources frame it as connecting findings to solutions. Test finds weak web app security. That's your business case for a WAF or better developer training. The report becomes a roadmap for prioritizing other security investments. It identifies real gaps that specific solutions can fill.
So the test isn't just an endpoint, it's a starting point for targeted improvements. Okay, this has been incredibly thorough. We've covered the market, the why with risk and compliance, the ROI proof points, the different buyers, the what of testing types and approaches, the how with timelines and tools, and how to communicate the value. We've essentially unpacked the core knowledge from these sales training materials.
Yeah, distilled the key takeaways designed to get people up to speed quickly on why penetration testing is so critical today.
So let's leave you, the listener, with a final thought building on all this. Given that attackers can exploit flaws in just 5 days, that tiny window, and that 74% of breaches involve the human factor.
What does that speed and that human vulnerability really mean if you're just relying on automated scans or only reacting after something bad happens? How does this proactive, validation-focused approach of pen testing help you genuinely get ahead, build real resilience, not just tick a compliance box?
Something important to think about. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into penetration testing, filtered through these insightful source materials. Hopefully you've got a much clearer picture now.
Yeah, hopefully this gives you a solid foundation to build on.